here at the station know the holidays can be a little bit stressful. Shopping, baking, seeing those dreaded family members. Take a moment to wind down with a cup of cocoa on the radio. Tune into WONY 90.9 Oneonta whenever you need a moment of holiday joy. Happy holidays. Don't forget to keep it locked.
This is the sound of E. coli splashing around in raw hamburger juice on your cutting board. And it looks like Mom just put the tomatoes and onions on there, too. Don't let E. coli mosh with your food. An estimated 3,000 Americans die from a foodborne illness each year. So always separate raw meat from vegetables on two cutting boards. Keep your family safe at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Hi, everyone. You're listening to the WONY Weekly Update. Here are some events to look forward to this week. On Monday, November 17th, join SUNY Oneonta's Health and Wellness Center for Coffee with the Counseling Center. This will be happening from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. in the Hunt Union Reception. On Monday at 6 p.m., join the Office of Global Education for an international music mingle. This will be happening in Hunt Union Waterfront Room. Lastly, on Monday, join the Activities Council for Seasonal Arts and Crafts for Thanksgiving. This will be happening from 9 p.m. to 10:30 in the International Lounge of Hunt Union. On Tuesday, join the SUNY Oneonta Badminton Club for their Badminton Doubles Tournament. This will be happening from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. Also happening on Tuesday, join for some line dance lessons happening from 6 to 7 p.m. in the Hulbert Event Center. On Tuesday, be sure to join SUNY Oneonta's Global Education Office for their Global Thanksgiving Celebration. This will be happening from 6 to 8 p.m. in the Great Room. As always, Tuesday is Trivia Tuesday, so join Activities Council for Trivia in the Red Dragon Theater from 9 to 10 p.m. On Wednesday, join the Jewelry Making Club for our meeting. Come and bead with us. This will be happening from 5 to 7 p.m. in the Hunt Union Butternut Valley Room. Hope to see you there. On Thursday, join the SUNY Oneonta Counseling Health and Wellness Center for the Great American Smokeout. This will be happening in Chase Gym from 2 to 5 p.m. Also on Thursday, join the Anthropology Club for Real Talk, The Truth of Thanksgiving, happening from 6 to 7 p.m. in Physical Science 246. From 6 to 7 p.m., there will be a multicultural variety show. This will be happening in the ballroom. On Thursday, be sure to check out Music Industry Club's show of The Backfires and Wolf. This will be happening in Lee Hall, The Great Room, from 6 to 9 p.m. Come see these awesome bands perform. On Friday, support the SUNY Oneonta's women's basketball team as they play Eastern Connecticut, happening from 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. in DeWar Arena. On Saturday, Club Odyssey is hosting Hot Cocoa and Jackbox. This will be happening from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Club Odyssey Studio on Main Street. This has been your WONY Weekly Update on WONY 90.9 FM Oneonta. Have a great week and keep it locked, everyone.
Hello, everybody. Good morning. This is DJ Nosfer Mark II with What's in Your Pocket. This is episode 81. We are here on Friday, November 21st, at the basement of Hunt Union, home of Red Dragon Radios. And today we have an extremely special guest, our beloved president, Dr. Alberto Cardeier. Would you like to say hello? Say hello to the world.
Hello, world, and hello, Mark. Thank you for having me.
100%. I'm really looking forward to this. I'm gonna, as I always do, I'm gonna start off with a little bit of music here, and then we'll get into talking about his life, in pursuit of happiness, and how he worked his way up to the top here at our awesome. Awesome organization here, SUNY Oneonta, which is a great place to be. So here's some Mingus. Going to play a song called Slop off of, I think it's a compilation album, but it's called The Shoes of the Fisherman's Wife. And it's a great, great tune. Inspired. A lot of these songs were inspired by Duke Ellington as well. So here we are. We got a little bit of Mingus to start you off, and then we'll be right back to chat all things presidential. I know.
in your neighborhood, in your neighborhood, in your neighborhood. Say, who are the people in your neighborhood? The people that you meet each day.
Oh, hi there, little fella.
Hello.
Hey, listen, you know who you could be if I gave you this little hat and a bag to carry over your shoulder?
I could be a laundry man.
No, not a laundry man.
How about Santa Claus?
No, 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 not Santa Claus.
What's wrong with Santa Claus?
There's nothing wrong with Santa Claus.
Don't
but
you like Christmas?
Oh, I love Christmas, but you could be the postman.
A postman? Oh, the postman always brings the mail. Through rain or snow or sleet or hail. I'll work and work the whole day through. To get your letter safe to you.
Cause a postman is a person in your neighborhood.
In your neighborhood.
He's in your neighborhood.
A postman is a person in your neighborhood.
A person that you meet each day.
I'll see you around.
Okay.
Hey, watch it. Where are you going, to a fire?
Hey, speaking of a fire.
Fire? What fire?
No, there's no fire at all, but you know who you could be if I gave you this little shiny red hat?
Yeah, Santa Claus.
No, not Santa Claus. No, no.
Red Riding Hood.
No, not Red Riding Hood. You could be a fireman.
A fireman? Holy smoke. Oh, a fireman is brave, it's said. His engine is a shiny red. If there's a fire anywhere about, well, I'll be sure to put it out.
Cause a fireman is a person in your neighborhood.
In your neighborhood.
He's in your neighborhood.
And a postman is a person in your neighborhood.
Well, they're the people that you meet
when you're walking down the street.
They're the people that you meet.
It's important to meet new people all of the time, and this is what some of our listeners are going to be doing today, as well as me getting to go through here and figure out what I do or do not know about our esteemed president here of the college. Once again, I have a special guest here today, Dr. Alberto Cardeye, and we're going to discuss a little bit about backgrounds and what he does here for the university, and then at the end we'll probably get into my favorite subjects, which are food and music, which I like to ask him if that comes out. So first question here, and feel free to take your time and elaborate, and I'll ask in between stuff, but from the point of conception till now, let's get some personal deets on you here. Where have you been my whole life?
Well, first of all, thank you for that esteemed president part. I appreciate that. I grew up. I'm originally from Miami, Florida. I was born and raised in Miami. My parents are Cuban. They were both born and raised in Cuba, and they left in the early 60s.
Okay.
After the revolution in Cuba. And so I grew up in Miami in a very Miami, by the way, that is not the one that we think about today, you know, with Pitbull and South Beach. It was a sleepy town.
Yes.
But it was a wonderful place to grow up. I grew up clearly, you know, heavy influenced with Cuban food, Cuban culture, music, and therefore, that was really part of who I was. And then, but I knew I wanted to go away for school, so I left Miami, left for undergrad, and then did a couple of things. But my big next thing was I went to grad school in Boston. And I did my master's in public health, which was my first career, was in public health.
What school in Boston?
Boston University.
Oh, BU. Okay. Yeah. Awesome.
And there I worked in international global public work with an organization called Oxfam America that still exists. And most importantly, that's where I met my wife. We've been married now for 34 years.
Amazing.
And we continued to work. And after I finished my master's, really incredible experience. I worked overseas for about, we both worked overseas for over 2 years in Central America with both a United Nations agency and a small nonprofit in Nicaragua and Guatemala.
Amazing.
Yeah, and came back and moved to D.C., worked in D.C. So I had about a 10-year career in global public health before starting higher education.
Gotcha. Okay, so Boston. So, yeah, it's funny. I visited Boston frequently. I have a lot of friends there and stuff like that, especially because Berkeley, the music school, right, and so forth. And I was dumbfounded when I, because you were there for your, where'd you go to your undergrad?
I went to New Orleans, Tulane University.
Okay, that's right. Okay, you said this before, but they didn't hear. Yeah, so, okay, so you go from New Orleans and you go to Boston. And during that time, didn't the T line stop really early?
Yes, that's
like,
right.
It drove me nuts. Like, I go in there to visit people in college, when I was in college, and they'd be like, we got to go.
That's right.
Otherwise, the T's going to leave. And it was like 11, and I was like, what do you mean? Like, in Oneonta, people don't go out till 11, you know, but you had to leave early on the
Tuesday. No, and the bars and clubs closed at 2 a.m. I'm not even sure they still, if that's still the case. But
yeah, I don't know, but yeah. They were like, no one having any of this. But Boston's a very clean and nice city.
Yes, yes.
That's probably the reason why. Okay, so you go, so Aerosmith. Aerosmith is from Boston as well. So you go there, and then you go overseas. 2 years, right?
Yes, right.
And so, once again, what was the work you were doing overseas when you were there?
Yeah, so we were working with a community health education program that worked mainly with women. So, especially in the developing world, women are the main caretakers for the family. So it is about educating, working with women to empower them to become economically self-sufficient, as well as learning how to take, to have basic health care. So we were training trainers. So we were training women who can then train others in, how to prevent diarrhea, how to prevent children from suffering upper respiratory infections, and in a very basic way, because this was in the and I hate to date myself, this is the late 80s, early 90s, and it was a time when there were civil wars in Guatemala and Nicaragua, and therefore it was a lot about helping them use basic things to be able to sustain the health of them and their families.
What a impactful and wonderful job.
It was very a lot of fun, but I'll tell you, and I'm sure my wife will tell you the same thing, we definitely learned more from them than we taught them.
I can imagine. So when you were there, where were you staying when you were there? Did you have an individual house for?
The organizations had houses within the towns. In Guatemala especially, we lived on a lake called Lake Atitlan, which is actually where we have a group of students that go every summer to Lake Atitlan.
Oh, we do.
Dean Tracy Allen.
Oh, very
cool.
And
he's been going, and coincidentally, that's where we lived. We lived right on that lake.
Amazing. So you do this for 2 years?
Two years.
Okay. Yeah. And then after that?
So after that, we got married, and then we went to D.C., where I lived. I worked for the World Health Organization in D.C.
Oh, really?
Well, the America's arm of the World Health Organization, which is called the Pan American Health Organization, and we and with the American Medical Student Association, actually. And so we were there for about 5 years, and that's where our first daughter was born. It was a great time to be in D.C. D.C. is a great city. Many exciting things going on.
Yeah, my daughter did an AmeriCorps program there. She only went for the first half of it. She was she enjoyed it. It just wasn't the right thing for her at the right time. One of the things she did, the program's great, and D.C. was awesome.
Yes.
And I went like 3 or 4 times. I had been there before, but I went 3 or 4 times just to visit her while she was down there. And it was just an incredible, incredible experience. And I loved always the food.
It
always
food goes
back. It's like the food.
Yeah, great food in like the Adams Morgan section. It's grown now. It's so much bigger and so many other things. But I remember back then, amazing Ethiopian food and Central American food, all in that Adams Morgan area.
Yeah. Okay. So you're in D.C.
And then I decide, I saw both my wife was also working in international development, and okay. we both saw that, that was a really tough lifestyle in order to have a family. You're traveling quite a bit. You're overseas quite a bit.
Yeah.
So, I saw a higher education and being a faculty member as an opportunity to maybe get more stable. So I did my doctoral degree. I moved back to Miami. My wife moved to Miami to University of Miami, the U.
Yeah, the U.
To do my PhD in international studies with a focus on public health.
Okay, very cool.
So, we were there for about 3 years. there in Miami in the heat, I didn't have to do much work, but my wife did have to carry twins, and we had twin daughters in Miami. But it was good. It was, a great experience to be able to, but we knew that it was, I didn't want to have my career there. So and then my first teaching position was in Pennsylvania.
Okay. So, it's funny. I don't even want to say that I've never been to Miami, but I don't think I've been to Miami.
Ooh.
I need to go to Miami, I guess.
Yes, you do. I can give you some good places to go.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, once again, I relate everything to sports and sporting events and things like that. Dan Marino.
Yes.
Like, that was... and I guess Ace Ventura at that point, looking like all these things. And the Marlins.
Classic.
Yeah, a classic, right? So, I just... my daughter did an internship at Disney down there.
Okay.
So, I've been to Orlando a bunch of times, but is that far away from
about me? Three, four hours.
Okay, three or four hours. Florida's pretty big, but I've only been there. The only time I've been to Florida is for Disney,
okay,
which I think is three times. but like I said, my daughter did the internship down there and absolutely loved it. So Florida, get the PhD, right,
yep.
And then from there. Pennsylvania. So what school are you at in Pennsylvania? This is your first time teaching, too?
Yeah, it was first time teaching. It was in East Stroudsburg University, which is right on Route 80 in the Poconos, right?
So it's about 2 hours away? Two and a half hours?
Yeah, about 2 hours away,
yeah, okay.
Right. We were just like 4 miles from
Port Jervis.
A little further from the New Jersey state line.
So we're actually
there. We were much closer to the city than we are to New York City than we are here. Right? We were an hour and 15 minutes, and actually it was a commuting. It was we had a large commuter population that worked in the city and then lived out in the Poconos. So there I was at East Stroudsburg University, an institution similar to this is where I've always had my career. What's called regional comprehensives.
Okay,
this is what SUNY Oneonta is. So East Stroudsburg was very similar to that, and there I started as a faculty member in public health, and I spent 17 years. We spent that's where our daughters grew up, and 17 years started as a faculty member, became a chair, then had a couple of was chair for a long time, and then I left as dean of the College of Health Sciences.
Okay, so what was the chair you were, what was the department?
It was called Health Studies.
Okay.
So we had a master's in public health. We had a public health undergraduate degree. Plus we had school health education, where we trained teachers to teach health education in the schools.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And this, how big is the school?
It's similar to Oneonta, about 6,000.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know much about that. I don't know much about that school. I'll have to check it out.
It's a Division II in sports, so it's different that way. But other than that,
okay.
It's very similar in every other way.
And you lived in the Poconos then?
Yeah, we lived in Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania.
Okay. Very cool.
And that's a nice little area.
Yeah, I love the Poconos. I try to frequent. I'm in a rockabilly band, and we would play shows down there once a year or so, because they would have some car shows down there and stuff like that during the summer. So. And I, one of my ex-partners lived in Port Jervis.
Oh, right.
Or grew up in Port Jervis.
Yeah.
So we would go down there and visit. And it's right over the border. You go over the border into there. Super cool. So you're there. You're teaching. You become a dean.
Yep.
Right. of health services?
Health sciences. So we had, you know, nursing, we had speech pathology, yep. we had health, athletic training.
17 years.
Yep, 17 years total.
And then
I had the opportunity to become a vice president and a provost at a place called Fitchburg State University, which is in Massachusetts.
Fitchburg
University. It's just north of Worcester, 15-20 miles north of Worcester.
Yep.
Or as you're supposed to say, Worcester.
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 The Palladium. I've been to the Palladium a bunch. Yeah. The Palladium in Worcester. Okay.
So I was there as vice president and provost for 5 years. And then from 2016 to 2021, loved being back in Massachusetts, enjoyed Massachusetts. We actually lived in Worcester. Which is a great town.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome.
Nice grittiness, but with great food. 100%. And great. went through COVID there. And then in 21, in 21, had the privilege to being selected to come here.
It's awesome. So this is year four.
Year four. I'm in year five.
Year five now, okay.
Yeah.
COVID seems so long ago.
I know.
But
yeah.
So close. It's very bizarre. So you were the vice president of
academic affairs.
Academic affairs during COVID.
How
was that affecting? So how was that at the school you were at? Like.
Yeah, I mean, it was, from what I understand, right, so I wasn't here, you know, in New York at the time, but Massachusetts, dealt with the COVID very well. We had the opportunity to sign up, and students were tested first once a week when we came back. And then every 2 weeks. So we never really had any major outbreaks. But then we had, we didn't bring back a lot of students. We only brought back in the fall of 2020, we only brought back, I think, 30-40% of our students.
Oh, okay.
The majority of students still were online.
Still online. And what was the size of that school?
That was a smaller school. I think we were about 4,000.
Yeah. Okay, and that's a private?
It's a public.
Oh, it's public. Oh,
it's
okay.
A public institution, just very similar. Again, very similar to Oneonta. It was just a little bit smaller.
Gotcha. And how far from what was directly north? Is that Vermont?
Yeah. No, New Hampshire.
Oh, it's New Hampshire.
Yeah, we were, that's a great, 20, you know, maybe 20 minutes from the border.
Okay. And what was the closest New Hampshire,
Keene.
Oh, Keene. Okay,
yeah,
great
Keene
hiking.
State. Yes.
Yeah.
Actually, we went to a couple of concerts in Keene.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's probably like Brattleboro is near there.
Well, Brattleboro is a little bit further up.
Further up, okay.
I think, if I remember.
I'm trying to remember. It's funny. I always base stuff either on sports or from a past girlfriend or something. I had a girlfriend who lived in Brattleboro when I was in college. And I remember she lived in Brattleboro. You could stand on the mountain and see three states.
Oh, wow.
It was one of those things. It was like you were right on the corner, so it was an interesting thing. Okay, yeah, New Hampshire's. I love New Hampshire, too. So when you were there, and were you just kind of, you decided at one point you wanted to become a president? Or how does one, how does one apply for something like this? It's like a very interesting thing for me to
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I think that, I wanted to be in a position where I could be impactful, right? And especially impactful on students, the type of students that, we get here at SUNY Oneonta, we got at Fitchburg and East Stroudsburg. And those are students that are hard working and many of them are middle class. Nobody gave me a lot of good guidance when I went to college and went to private schools, graduated with a very high debt. In college, so I sort of done it completely reverse, right? So I went to all privates and I've only worked in publics.
Yeah, right.
And the reality has been that, in part has been that experience that has driven me to say, no, the public higher education institutions in this country are the jewel of higher education. And we need to really make it as easy as possible to people, to students, to come to higher education, college and universities, if that's what they want to do, and have them graduate with the least amount of debt. And I felt that as I kept moving up administration, I would have more and more of the ability to make that impact.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, I'm 100% with you on all that. My daughter went to a private school for the first year.
Yeah.
And it was expensive. Yes. And her grades were not great going in, so she didn't get a lot of financial aid or things. And I was like, I don't know if we should do this, you know. And she did it for a year and then was like, okay, yeah, I get you, get it, you know. Like, so I actually graduated. I went to Potsdam first.
Oh, okay, of course. Great school.
Yeah, great school for music.
Especially music.
But then I transferred because I didn't really like it up there. For multiple reasons, but I transferred to Hartwick. That's how I wound up here.
Oh, okay.
Because the guitar teacher was amazing at Hartwick back, and they had a their program's still great, but they had a really kicking program in the 90s.
Okay.
The music program was incredible. The guitar teacher, when you go for school for music, you try to find your individual teacher that you're going to study with, and that's the big thing. That was a private school.
Yeah.
But I was lucky enough that I had, like, they gave me almost a full ride, and back then when the money was a little bit more kicking around than it is now, you know.
Plus the tuitions back then were still high, you know, and but they were not as high as we're talking about.
No, not as high at all. But it was funny, back then it was actually cheaper for me to go to Hartwick than it was Potsdam.
No. Yeah.
Only because I got money. You know. Both schools were great though. I loved both of them, I think we should make public education. I wish they made community college free.
Yeah,
to a degree. The problem is when you give out free stuff like that, if people take advantage of it, but then don't do the expectations of what is expected of them.
Right, or
anybody can sign up, then that becomes an issue.
Or that's the problem too, right? And or that you're subsidizing folks that could pay, you know.
That's right.
If you could, I think that what we need to do is really continue to strengthen the aid that follows the student, so that the student can make a decision.
100%. So okay, so you get the job here. And you go, okay, I'm moving to Oneonta, New York, right? Which is such a goof. We'll talk about Oneonta in a minute. It's such a quirky little city and so forth. But before we get into Oneonta, let me just ask this question, because we're all dying to know. Inquiring minds want to know. I had the dean on, or one of the deans on.
Okay.
Janine Minjay was on.
Right.
Right. And I had provost on.
Okay.
And I found out what they do.
Okay.
And it was interesting because it was just more so I learned a little bit more about these things than I generally know. But it was, the provost was in terms of the students, I said, oh, you should listen to my show. One of my students, I said, the provost is on. I said, what's a provost? Right? You know, so like they don't. And I was like, well, this is the provost is very important. You know, so my question is this. What does the president do? And it's different for maybe different places, but I guess. But what does the president do at SUNY Oneonta, in a SUNY school system? Right.
Right.
I'm assuming they're kind of across the board, somewhat of the same what they're tasked to do. But so, what is your main job here? Right. And then also, what's your daily schedule like for you?
Okay. So the main job really is, I see it as, you know, setting a vision of where we want the institution to go to, working with everybody to set that vision and understanding that based on, because as president, you sit in a position where you're seeing a lot of the factors and variables that impact. So taking all of that together and setting the vision, communicating that vision, and then getting out of the way and letting the good folks that, you know, and everything from the vice presidents to the deans, department chairs to the faculty and the staff, get out of their way so that they can do the work and that they need to do. And then while I'm getting out of the way is identifying the resources so that they can do their work even at a better level, whether, you know, more resources. Like, we can never complain that we have too many resources. So, you know, that's one of the areas that that I spend a lot of time in is, you know, strategizing how we're going to come up with the resources we need in order to make sure that SUNY Oneonta is still relevant, you know, 135 years from now. And we become, you know, we're still important for the region and for the state and for the world.
Yeah.
So really, it's about that vision. On a day-to-day, that means meeting. You know, so every week I meet with every single vice president. Then I have an executive staff, which is made of the vice presidents, and then I have a cabinet, which is the vice presidents and the next a next level down. And then I meet with, you know, I spend a lot of time with community members.
I see you bouncing around.
So we do a lot of, you know, I sit on multiple boards in town in the region. And so it's about making sure that, you know, I am the, you know, I am on the bully pulpit about the amazing work that's happening here at SUNY Oneonta. So, yes, that's a lot of meetings. That's a lot of public-facing things, trying to, by my presence, showing that what the individuals are doing, what the group is doing, is important. So yesterday, you know, at 5 o'clock, we were at the art show. And my wife, by the way, joins me in a lot of these stuff, so she's been wonderful. We were at the opening of art show. There was one called Murph. That's great. Yeah. Then I was kicked off the Multicultural Variety Show. And then came over to the Siegfried Lecture, which was an incredible lecture on paleontology. So, you know, that's, and I must say that happens every day, but that's, you know, that happens once or twice a week. You know, we have so many things going on, and it's important for me to be there to demonstrate that what folks are doing is critical and valuable.
Yeah, I see you popping up all over the place, and the first time I saw you, it's very funny. So, you know, after COVID happens and whatever, and then all of a sudden we have a new president. Okay. things were somewhat back to normal, and they were playing Evil Dead the musical. Right, do you remember? Of course you remember this, right?
And
I'm, you know, so like, there's like, you know, zombies, like, you know, whatever. It's Evil Dead, right? So, like, and I love those movies. And I was just, like, watching it. I think I went with one of my kids. And they asked for volunteers. And then I was like, that's the president on stage, like, pulling off this zombie victim, like, off the stage. It was awesome. And I was like, and I looked over and I said to my son, because, you know, when you talk to, I think he was, that was maybe 4 years ago.
Yeah, it was early on.
Yeah, he was 9 or something. And I was just like, that's the president. He's like, the president? I was like, the president of the college. He's like, oh, that's important. I was like, yeah, and he's up there doing this. I was like, that's a very cool president right there. That's a cool one. That's a keeper. That was my first experience with you. I was like, that's awesome. So, and just on a side note, because I do want to say this before asking another question, is that in all my years here, upper administration, the group we have now, and for me as an educator, you know, I'm on, in terms of the, you know, I'm looking up a lot, but that's because that's what I do. I'm an educator, but I will say, from going from the people that I see running things, going from Dr. Pignato from the music department to Mijay, and just kind of going up to you, I really respect everything that you all do, and everybody's very in the public eye and approachable, and this is awesome.
Good,
and I think we are in a really good spot right now. In fact, I've been here 27 years, and I think we're in the best spot in terms of my perception. Mm-hmm. Of what I would call the upper administration right now.
Well, thank you for that. As you said, right? It's really important to have a good team, and I think
100%.
I can't have expected to have a better team. And I'll say that, you know, yes, I had the opportunity to hire two of the vice presidents, but you know, the other ones were here, and so there are people who are committed to this institution. What, you know, I think what we've tried to do is, you know, I. we will have to make tough decisions sometimes, and we can explain it. But we will try to be as open as we can and to make it so that individuals can understand. But it is very, very, very important for people to see us as humans, to see the provost and myself and
100%.
And Dean Minjay as former faculty. I mean, we're all in the classroom. You know, we all know what happens in the trenches, so to speak. And we haven't forgotten that. We may change our titles, but we really haven't forgotten that. And it's really important for us to make sure that we communicate that. And I think that's that happens by being present. And, and as I told the chairs, including Joe, the chair role is the hardest job I've ever done.
I can't even imagine doing that.
because you're one of your colleagues and you're trying to get people to work together. And Joe does it with a lot of glamour and finesse and coolness. I think he exudes coolness. I don't think I've ever told that, but now I'm told
cool.
it.
Yeah, no, Joe's amazing. And I knew him since he came, because he came in after. It's just funny. I've always felt like the young kid. Because I was. I started here when I was 23.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I'm 23 years old, and I was really young. And everybody else came in. They were 10 years, 15 years older than me. But I've known Joe this whole time, and he's just an amazing guy. And we had Rob Roman before then, and he was awesome. He was great too. He's a great mediator. and that we needed that at that point. I don't know. Like I said, what I find here is nobody's trying to micromanage things, which is great that you can't do that. If you do that, it causes a lot of animosity and it causes problems. And yeah, you just said that. Get out of the way sometimes, to set the things and kind of let the
hire the good people.
Yeah.
And going back to the theater, because you brought it up. I mean, our theater folks, all our departments, but, we're clearly the music department, but, in theater also, my wife and I don't try not to miss a show. She actually writes an article about every show, and not a review. It's about getting behind the scenes and talking to the students. And it's been, it comes out, right before the shows start. And I still have not seen a bad production here.
No, they're awesome, and I try to make as many as I can too, because we share. I mean, I walk in every day through the loading dock when I come in the morning, so I get to see Scott, and I walk through the theater department, so I'm good friends with him. What I want to do now is talk a little bit about Oneana in general. So you come to this town and visit, right? And then now you're. Do you live in Oneana? Are you living in
the city? Yes.
Okay.
I mean, I have the privilege of the job comes with the residence.
Oh, does it come with the residence?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I didn't know there's an app.
And by contract, I have to live there.
Oh, I didn't even know we had a house.
Yeah, it's right across the tennis courts.
Oh.
By MOC, right across the street.
Oh, how do I not know? Oh, wait a minute. I know. Okay, I know that the house. Okay, interesting.
We'll have to have you over.
Yeah, I never knew this. That's incredible. Okay, so you come into this. This town is special to me, and is the reason I'm still here.
Okay.
Tell me when you come in here and look at this, and you look at this town. What are your favorite parts of this city? I call it a town, but it's a city. It's a very it's a small city, but it's here, Oneana, New York, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think I would say that Stroudsburg was somewhat similar, and Fitchburg, although it was much urban, was similar. But there is something special about this part of upstate New York, and to me, there is a friendliness that there is here. Now people tell, well, of course, people know you're president, so they're going to be nice to you. But no, this was even the first time I visited, and my wife will say the same thing, even before they knew who she was, people were just friendly, and tried to help, and made you feel welcomed. So I think that's the foundation, surrounding that. How many other places there aren't too many places that have two colleges, a major hospital, right? So many venues for music. Food scene, great pizza scene.
Yeah. We'll talk about the food in a minute, but yeah.
So I think that all of that really comes together to create, and because we are isolated, right? Yep. it takes a while to get to places. I think that creates, one of my first meetings here, somebody said Oneonta was like Brigadoon. It was a place that the outside hadn't touched. I'm not saying that's exactly right, but it has a lot of that quality. And that's why I think that, in my experience, so many of our students stay in touch with their peers as alum. I mean, the stories I hear about people still going out together or meeting up at least once a year, I haven't seen that in any other institution I've been at. So a lot of that, I think it comes from the physical place where we are. And that you can have an amazing experience right here in the town, in the city of Oneonta, without necessarily venturing out. So it's a combination of safety, good experience and entertainment, that really provides, I think, a very unique experience. So I agree, this is a very special place.
Oh, it's for the people who grew up here, right? They always say, oh, it's Oneonta. They always come back. Yeah. And they do. Like, people come back all the time. It's gorgeous. The city's very cool, too. But right, the outskirts of the city are so gorgeous. The mountains are wonderful. You're basically an hour away from a bunch of the other big hubs. You can get to Schenectady, hour and a half or so. Binghamton's an hour away.
Right.
But there's just... I don't know.
It's funny because my family, who is coming down now for Thanksgiving, they're from Miami, and they say, oh, but you have to drive an hour to get to... And I was like, well, you guys drive 45 minutes to go 10 miles.
Yeah, that's right. No, it's like going to the city, because like my daughter lives in the East Village.
Yeah.
Right, and she works on the tip of Manhattan.
Oh, okay.
We'll go down there, and I'll be like, I'm two blocks away. I'll be there in 50 minutes, like after I drive the two blocks and find parking.
Right.
I could have driven 88 by then,
exactly.
with the potholes included, speaking of just, keeping in touch with stuff, like last weekend, Wony had, they have reunions all the time in New York City. Had people from the 90s in there host these things, and a bunch of... I think like 10 of our current Wony students went down.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they drove down there. They meet once a week. And we have an alumni event up here once a year, Wony Alumni Weekend. But so my students, I see a lot of people one-on-one. I see at least 20 a week with teaching lessons. When you meet with somebody for 4 years one-on-one, once a week, you get to know them.
Correct.
In a very personal way too. So when they graduate, you kind of become their peers and so forth. And anywhere I go in the United States, every city I go to, as soon as I go, I put something out on social media. Hey, I'm coming into town, and I get at least a minimum of 5 students who are like, "Let's meet up and eat lunch."
Oh wow!
Do you need a place to stay? Like, it's awesome. Everywhere I go, there are SUNY Oneonta students, especially because the music. Because if I'm going to a city,
right,
that's where the musicians go, right?
Right.
They go to the city. So, like, it's just incredible that I can go anywhere in the U.S. and be like, "Hey, there's a bunch of my old students here, and we hang out." And I have, it's super awesome. Sure. It makes me so happy.
Well, I mean, I say this a lot when I meet with the Alumni Association and the tentacles of SUNY Oneonta alum. So, I've run into alum in the Highlands in Scotland. I've run into them in the Northern Mariana Islands.
Amazing.
It is really amazing. Just by wearing a T-shirt, and I figure, well,
sure,
Nobody's going to know who SUNY Oneonta. No, I get stuck.
They know.
Yeah, they know.
Some of them know from a long time ago. They're like, you guys used to have like 90 bars within like one block, right? That was like the big party scene back then.
Right.
Yeah, funny.
And then, to your point, the Wony graduates, I mean, incredible. I mean, some of the alum that are incredible. Darn Garber.
Yeah.
He's a commissioner of Major League Soccer.
Yeah.
He would say, he got experience here selling advertising here for, selling, spots here for both the newspaper and the Wony and other things that he's done.
That's so wild. So you brought this up before, the pizza.
Yes.
Right? So, food, let's talk a little bit about food, and then we'll hit music quick in the last part here. So, Oneonta to me, through I was here in the 90s, as always, the food here has always been intriguing to me. And there's, you know, your typical whatever, but there are some pretty sweet spots. So let's see, top three,
ooh,
or let's say not top three, but three spots that you like to, that you would go to, that you like to go to. And this is not necessarily a plug for them, everybody. This
right,
is just like,
the stuff.
Hey, this is stuff we like, you know, like, what are we liking here?
Well, I mean, Asian cuisine on Main Street.
Yeah.
Their ramen is incredible, yeah. And as well as their sushi. So we frequent that quite a bit.
Yep.
And there are others, but these are, as you say, convenience. There's a whole other things that drive you to this.
Sure.
In terms of pizza, I like them all, but if I have to pick one, I really like Molly's in the mall.
On the mall, okay.
Yeah. And if the owners are listening, just tell me when you're going to be open. And
well, I know. So that's you never know, right?
But I really do love their pizza. And then clearly, the autumn. Ambiance in the autumn, so whenever we have interviews and things, that's our go-to. But, that doesn't mean Dazzo's Kitchen.
Yeah, Dazzo's right by me.
Toscana.
Yep.
All of those are amazing. It's just that I tend to go less, the convenience of having some of those places nearby on Main Street, which is where we try to go, it's been, that's why we end up there.
Gotcha. Yeah, so Simply Thai is a big one for me.
Another big one, yes.
When I can get to it, Azul,
right,
is awesome. And Star Mix, have you been to Star Mix?
The one on Chestnut?
Yeah.
Yes.
Star Mix is the owners are amazing, and they're super sweet. And I try to get there about once every 2 weeks or so because they're incredible. And I recently figured that the Food Mart on Main Street, they sell halal.
Oh, yes.
Oh, it's so good.
Yes, there are.
I discovered that recently, too. I don't go into bodegas. I thought it was just like kind of a bodega, and I went in. I was like, what? There's a food here. It's amazing. So there's little pockets of interesting things.
And then what's the place on, now moving on to Chestnut, Captain Crook, the seafood place?
Oh, that's on River.
River.
Yeah,
River.
On River.
River. That's
Captain
what I meant.
Cook's. Yeah.
They have this little happy hour there. That's
It's awesome. the original, what was in there before?
No,
it was awesome. It was a bar called No Place, and it had no signs on it. And it was one of these really funny bars that we would go to years ago because it was just basically a house,
right?
And you walked in, and they had these old banker's lights, and you could get like a rum and coke for a dollar or something like that. It was amazing, but that was a really cool bar for a long time called No Place.
And please, for all the places out there, I think I've been to all of them. It's just, we asked for the top three. So I needed to,
to do with. No, once again, I support all, I try to, my whole thing about living in a small area like this is that I really do try to get out to at least three or four different businesses a
right.
week. And of course, I have the ones that are close to my heart because I either work there or there's something special food-wise that I like to eat there. But for pizza, I go to this seven or eight of them I go to.
Yeah,
absolutely. And once again, I try to go through and eat at almost every single restaurant out there. I love, especially like in breakfast too, everything. I try to hit it. But
and of course, I didn't say anything, and I can't believe I forgot Brooks. Barbecue.
Oh, yeah, if you've lived here for a long time, like, I hardly ever go there, but people love it,
you know? I mean, worldwide.
Yeah, it's worldwide.
And people tell me, oh, Oneonta, that's where Brooks is.
That's right.
And by the way, I need to do a plug-in. The Brooks family provided a very generous donation. We're going to name the working kitchen in the Ecology.
Oh, very cool.
The Brooks family teaching kitchen, I think it's going to be called.
Amazing.
So they're an amazing family.
They're a staple, and everybody. How do I forget about that? Right?
Yep.
It's like, oh, the Brooks, right? I think when you just lived here for so long, you just
yes.
like Brooks, what a wonderful place! Like I said, go out there and support businesses.
Yes,
it's an important thing. So, okay, in the few minutes we have left, because this is we're on the radio, and this is super important to me because this is what I do for a living, right? How important is music to your life? And then tell us, give us a couple either music memories or bands, artists that you enjoy to listen to.
So music is, you know, again, mainly because of my wife. We have a really nice, pretty good Sonos system, so we always have music going on. Actually, that's how we wake up in the morning, with music, and then it moves on to talk, you know, to news radio. But we will always wake up to music, mainly classical, and then, you know, right before, yeah, we have more. You know, other rock and folk. And so, I mean, I would say if I would have to pick one band right now, we were talking earlier, right? Very eclectic taste. Going to school in New Orleans, I clearly, you know, had spent a lot of spent time listening to jazz. Probably did not appreciate it at the moment, you know, that I was there in this.
Sure.
In the, but, you know, things like the Radiators, the Neville Brothers. I mean, these people would come and play on campus, and I don't think I really appreciated that. But that's a whole other story.
Yeah.
Right now, I think one of our favorite bands we've followed for a while is the Mavericks out of Nashville. Their lead singer Raul Malo is from Miami. The band started in Miami, so you know, it's a band that was introduced to us through a friend of my wife's, and so we've been able to follow them. One of the nicest memories that I have about music is my brother and I, my brother who's passed away, unfortunately, like folk. And so James Taylor was going to play on Fort Lauderdale, on the Las Olas Boulevard in Fort Lauderdale. And it was over Christmas holiday, the winter holiday. And we go, and that day, it got maybe down to 40 degrees in Fort Lauderdale, so nobody showed up because it was too cold for people in Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah.
And he was there, James Taylor, and there must have been less than 100, 150 of us there.
Really?
And it was an incredible experience just to sit there and watch him play.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So cool. Music's one of these things that for me, and I think one of the reasons why I'm at, like, whenever I'm involved in it or listening to it and doing it, nothing else exists, it seems like, in the world for me. Like,
right.
I'm just kind of so entrenched in that that I forget about other things, whether that's good or bad, but it's just that I'm involved in it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and to me, like, for the inauguration that we had for my presidency, that's why we had Rob put together the Latin Jazz Band, and they did those three, great music by, La Guantanamera, Celia Cruz, and it was special because that was music that I had grown up with, right?
Sure.
And they did such an amazing job. The students did an incredible job. And that the night before at the B-side, I think we also had a few members of the faculty.
Yeah,
play.
The faculty
Adam played.
Adam's amazing.
Yes.
The music department faculty is so spot on, right? They're awesome right now. Not that they haven't always been. It's always... I love being here.
Yeah.
Like, everybody up here is awesome. And you're right. There's a genuine happiness and friendliness that is just a surrounding here. Mm. I've never woken up, and I tell my students this too. I said, get a job where you wake up and I come in every day and I'm like, cool.
Yeah.
I'm here, and I have it's an absolute joy. I'm the only time I'm ever I want to go home is yesterday I came in at 9 in the morning or 8 in the morning because I had a guest on yesterday and I left at 9 p.m. So I'm tired. I'm 50. and I was 25. It was fine. But yesterday I was tired and that's when I was like, I want to go home. But it wasn't from just because I was overtired. Luckily I have this weekend off, but, I attribute to this, to not only the awesomeness of our students and faculty, but also the awesomeness of the upper administration. So thank you so much. And it was an absolute pleasure having you on here this morning. I'm going to sign off in a second. Any last words and advice for any of the students out there listening about a word of advice for the future?
Right. First of all, thank you. I'm hoping, wishing everybody a happy holidays throughout, you know, this holiday season. And for our students, like I said, to in convocation, the students have an amazing superpower, and that is the power to show up. That's all you show up and do your work, do the best, and that goes a long way. The student body here is among the most driven that I have ever had the ability to work with, the engaged. So just keep doing what you can. I know sometimes it feels like there's not a lot of hope out there, and the news isn't always great, but they have the power to show up and make a difference.
Great words. That's what I tell them. Everybody show up, be nice, and be willing to change and adapt to your surroundings.
Yes.
That'll make you a hireable person and make your life very happy, hopefully.
Absolutely.
Thank you once again to Dr. Albert Cardea, and everybody have a great weekend. I'll be back on Monday with Samantha C., who is a local, she works for the, I'm forgetting it. She's not coming on for her job. Oh, the Amish Barn Company. She works for them, I think, in promotions and sales or advertisement. But the big thing is she's a Pez dispenser collector. So I have a Pez dispenser collector coming in on Monday morning, and I'm super excited for it, for What's in Your Pocket variety show coming at you live from the basement of Hunt Union. DJ Nos from Mark II, Homer Red Dragon Radio, always keeping it locked. Everybody have a great weekend, and I will see you on Monday.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day
why did I do that? Why did I go for a walk the day before Christmas without my map? I'm so lost now. And to make it worse, it's nighttime and it's so very cold. I don't know what to do.
Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even the whale. The vinyl was stacked on the table with care, in hopes that Spirocco soon would be there. The DJs were planning their holiday shows in the basement of alumni, cause that's how it goes. With finals week coming and stress levels high, relax for a moment with WONY. Happy holidays from WONY Oneonta, and don't forget to keep it locked this holiday season.
Vision loss is not something that you feel until it happens.
Most people lose their vision from diseases like macular degeneration and glaucoma. Not at birth.
3 million Americans have glaucoma, and half don't even know it.